Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut-shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your boyfriend.
Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Greetings, fuckers. Happy 2024. How you doing? Where you been? Wear a helmet. Wear your seatbelt. Welcome to a brand new spanking episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to the show.
So this is going to be a solo episode of me, Corinne, and Mikey. So before we get into it, let's get some dates up top. Okay?
Yeah.
So you've already been to Corinne's New Year's show. Great to see you. Hope you had fun. And then...
So happy you could make it.
Yeah,
so
very, happy. Very thrilled. So it was sold out. It was a huge smash. We were recording this early, so no idea. But I'm pretty psychic, so I'm going to say yes. And then you could see Corinne and I performing together on the same stage in New York City Thursday, February 1st at the MasterCard Midnight Theater for the very first Guys We Fucked live in New York.
In 2024.
And then in Los Angeles on Valentine's Day, February 14th, Corinne and I are going to be doing Guys We Fucked the Experience, the live show at the Comedy Store. So you're going to want to get tickets. Links to all those are in our bio. And I'm headlining a couple dates coming up. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, tonight, New Brunswick, New Jersey, I'm at the Stress Factory headlining. Hopefully people come to that. Please come. Wait What is my new podcast that I co-host with Daniel Pinchbeck about aliens, ghosts, psychedelics. And we're having our first kickoff show January 20th, which is a Saturday at MCM Productions where we film the show. It's going to be a live show, live podcast with special guest John Ronson. And I highly encourage, we don't have a ticket link yet. Maybe by the time you hear this, there will be. Check my bio. Check the Linktree bio at Christina Hutch. But we really encourage people to buy tickets who have had experiences with those three categories. The afterlife, psychic powers of some sort. Have you seen UFOs? Have you been abducted? I want to fucking know. Okay? Are you psychic? Let's go. Share it. And then Springfield, Missouri, April 22nd through the 23rd.
March.
What the fuck? What is going on with me?
You know what? Your own dates.
You know what it is? I haven't fucking ate since
8:30. Oh.
I'm starving. That's what it is. Because I'm like, why am I dumb? I feel grounded. Springfield, Missouri, March 22nd and the 23rd, the Blue Room. I'll be headlining. And then as always, you could sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson, where I do group therapy over Zoom. You know, it's the new year, baby. You got to get to that gym. You got to get on those dating apps. You got to get into therapy and you got to maybe participate in group therapy. I'm not a licensed therapist, but I know a thing or two. Okay. These are really cool spaces. And I have a solo podcast called The Voices in Our Heads that comes out every single Monday. So wherever you listen to your podcast. So woohoo, baby.
And then Washington, D.C., you know about this one, but I'm headlining D.C. Comedy Law February 29th through March 2nd. That ticket link's already up and available. Also spoke to my agent. I will have a handful of cities that I'm coming to, some that I haven't come to in quite some time in 2024, and I'll get you those dates ASAP. It'll be a fun time. And of course, if you want to listen to my solo podcast, Without a Country, we do a non-biased, you know, look at the most important news stories of the week. I always enjoyed doing that show, but I really, 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 especially, I felt like got into a really good groove, and I actually love doing it by myself. I know it might be seem difficult to do an unbiased news show by yourself, but I think I'm pretty good at looking at things in an unbiased way, as far as like politics is concerned. So I've trained myself how to do that, how to look at a lot of news sources. And that's kind of like the gift that I want to give to you, to be able to look at multiple news sources, multiple stories about the same political event, so that you know, it's a lot of it is training and empathy, which is going to be helpful for you in every single walk of life.
Yes.
And piece of your life and in relationships. Like, really everything is incredibly intertwined. And it'll be especially fun. Mike Harrington and I have some good ideas for the 2024 presidential election. So it's always fun to cover a presidential election on air. And I look forward to doing that with you. You can listen on YouTube to Without a Country podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yay.
All right. We've been on the edge of our seats to hear about your ayahuasca retreat.
What's that for?
Mike, I don't know.
I'm excited.
You know what?
What?
You know fucking what?
What?
So, Corinne.
Uh-oh.
Remember that time where Justin Silver called you and was like, hey, I'm at Christina's apartment. She did mushrooms with a guy that she met in the ER. And she's crying and wants to kill herself.
Oh, no, I do.
So.
I vividly remember.
Yeah, me too. And then you and Wendy came over and we ordered pizza and I was like, I want to die.
The best thing about that, though, was like you were so hungry that day for some reason and you're never hungry. So you kept ordering takeout for us. And I was like, well, this is the silver lining of this situation.
Yay, for food.
So much.
Yeah.
You left that suicide call stuffed.
Yeah. Which, you know what? Can't kill yourself if you're full. Or at least it's harder, maybe. I don't know. Maybe the pills won't be as potent. Who knows? So I kind of expected, and then I had a year following that was just like I woke up weeping, which is not, oh god, I
great name for a folk album, but
wait, I woke up weeping.
Yeah.
So I wanted to come into this. I did ayahuasca. I attended a ceremony. I did it twice over the weekend with a shaman, a female shaman, which should almost always be a female. That's if you're going to do it.
That was the first question I asked. Like, 100%. Christina, please tell me this is not some fucking dude.
No. Oh my God, no. And also, it's kind of looked down upon to do it in the United States because this is not where the indigenous place where this medicine kind of was from. So the medicine of ayahuasca is treated with great respect. And one thing that this weekend taught me is that respect for plants, like for respect for plant medicine, including tobacco and including marijuana, because my God, the rituals around how we did this were really lovely, really lovely. But so I bring up that previous mushroom trip to say that based off of everything I've heard about ayahuasca and seen the Chelsea Handler docuseries, I thought it was going to be some fucking, a lot of emoting. But I gotta say, I was the chillest one there. Mm. I was fucking chill as hell.
Oh.
And it was so nice to be the calm one.
Right. Oh, there was a lot of screaming from other people and crying and stuff?
Yeah. Okay. There was. Okay. And then there was other people that were chill. Everybody's experience with ayahuasca is different. And apparently it hits you differently every time. And usually with drugs, I dive deep. I do too many of the drugs. I do all the drugs. I really wanted to curb my relationship with substances, and was one of the reasons why I wanted to do the ayahuasca. And when we got there, there was one drug, medicine, in an email, in the welcome email that was kind of pitched to us called Kambo. It's K A M B O. This substance, this medicine is amazing. I didn't take it because I go, we're just going to do the ayahuasca. Okay, Christina? I want one. I don't want to do all these things. I don't want to put all these things in my body. I just want one thing. There was an option to take a second cup of the ayahuasca about a couple hours into the ceremony each night. And I didn't. Because I was like, I just want to do one.
You're also
not
little.
Overdo it.
So.
Yeah. And we didn't eat. Like, yeah. We couldn't eat. I'm like, yeah. This sucks. And one thing about eating, like, I get hangry, but, like, my brain just goes, as obviously, I've just fucked. I've been staring at words and reading the wrong words for the last 2 hours because I'm starving. But my experience was really, really gentle. Mm-hmm. And I've been told that we all have buckets for throwing up.
Oh, I thought this was you meant an emotional bucket.
No, no. Well,
you have a literal bucket. Okay.
Yeah. So the purging is a big part of it. But right. She said you could purge, you could take a shit, you could fart, you could yawn,
in
you could
bucket?
Cry.
You could shit in the bucket?
No, no, no. If you shit in the toilet. Oh. But the
she's
buckets,
saying like that the purge could happen
the purge
in any
happens,
of these ways.
I yes. see. Okay.
And the most common is throwing up. You so that's why anything. Everybody had the bucket. I threw up twice, both times. And the first night, I was like, I'm really excited. I met the people there. They were lovely people.
Yeah.
My God, they were fucking just so sweet and so lovely and lovely. And so I was starving because I couldn't eat. I ate breakfast and then as little food as I eat, if I don't like graze and I eat like a bird, but I just eat a little bit all the time. If I don't do that, I'm like, nyeh. So I was a little hangry. But the ayahuasca, number one, I was warned that it tasted terrible. I fucking loved the taste. It tasted like mole. Maybe it was because I was hungry. But we drank it. We each got it at the same time. We went around, talked about our intentions. And my intention for the ceremony, I got from Anne Marie, who you've heard on Guys We Fucked previously. She has sat with ayahuasca many times. And so she posed this idea for an intention. And I was like, that really makes sense. I don't know if I talked about it last time we recorded, but how can I serve the medicine?
Okay.
And I was like, I fucking love that because it's not about me.
Uh-huh.
I don't want it to be about me. I just, if there's some like breakthrough I have to, or a memory I have to look at or something I have to chisel through, great. If that's something that's the best, then I'll do it. But if not, like, how can I be of help? So that was my intention.
Well, when you say, how can I serve the medicine? Is the medicine representative of like humanity or?
So
like,
the medicine has a spirit to it. It's a mother.
Oh,
it's a motherly spirit.
Okay.
And apparently when a lot of people that have said that, they will see visuals like you hallucinate.
Right.
I did not hallucinate at all.
Okay.
But they saw Mother Ayahuasca as like an insect type of thing. Like
okay.
Some type of like, you know, freaky little, not freaky in a bad way, but just like a like psychedelic insect or something.
Okay.
And I didn't see anything. But we were all on our yoga mats in the room and there was candles lit. There was only like one candle lit. So it was super dark, which
so
was really
nice.
So
you were vomiting inside. That's mm-hmm. what I was
yeah,
worried.
Yeah, in the bucket.
Because it
yeah.
was like, because we were thinking like Ithaca, it's cold. Okay.
Cold as hell. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, was I allowed to say where it was? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. It's not better. And so, yeah. So we each had like, the woman who was a shaman had her daughter. She lives with her partner and her daughter. Who was so cute. Oh my gosh, she was so cute. But it was her little Halloween buckets that we were all vomiting. Her old Halloween.
Oh, I was like, oh, she's not using those again.
No. She's fine. But she, like, collected over the years. So,
Got it. So
we all had it. And about, I don't know, I couldn't keep track of time. I really enjoyed not having my phone on me. That was
yeah.
fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know what time it was.
Yes.
Loved that. All the food, like, a lot of us brought food. It had to be organic, no meat. Not necessarily vegan, but it had to be organic. And so I really also, it made me appreciate what I put in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Like in terms of food, you're like, oh damn, I mindlessly shove shit in my mouth that is just full of sugar. Like
mm-hmm.
it's just so detrimental to your emotional well-being and your physical well-being. So I really appreciated that part. So when we did the ayahuasca, you drink it and then you just wait. And she said, don't purge before 10 minutes, like really try to keep it down so it can do its thing. And I was told that it kind of like scans your body. You know, this is all metaphorically, but presumably it like scans your body.
Uh-huh.
And then if you have emotional blockages, whatever is supposed to happen, whatever experience you're supposed to have, you have. And so mine was just chill as hell. I was having fun. And the shaman.
Did you feel high?
Not really. I could. It was hard to tell because it was so dark in the room and
oh.
I was so hungry.
Oh,
that the hunger was really bugging me. So it was hard to tell. I couldn't tell, but I think I was. I just couldn't. It was just gentle.
Okay.
It wasn't intense.
Okay.
But then, so we all did one cup. Some people did two.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but before that,
uh-huh.
Jesus Christ. One of the reasons why I had a kind of profound respect and education for plant medicine this weekend was because I forget what the name of this eye drop is called, but these are eye drops that indigenous hunters used to use.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where they got the drop. I don't know how maybe they didn't put it in their eye, but it was some kind of natural plant medicine that you put in your eye.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, sometimes I administer this or I offer it to people after the ayahuasca, sometimes before. Today
uh-huh.
I'm going to offer it before. And I was like, what does it do? She's like, it grounds you. It grounds you and you're able to see more clearly. And
ooh.
And I was like,
okay.
And then she goes, it's a little spicy. And I was like,
it's always good to put something spicy in your eye.
Yeah. I was like, okay. So then she starts going around to anybody who wants. You didn't have to do it. But the one of the guys, so there was eight participants like me going there to do the ayahuasca, to have an experience, to set the intentions. And then there were four sitters.
Okay.
But they all did the ayahuasca. So everybody did. I'm like, there ain't nobody in here that's not doing ayahuasca?
Oh, I would have felt the same way. That would have made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
But after experiencing the weekend, I'm like, okay, I guess this is how it's like. It almost is like, well, maybe it's disrespectful to not do it or something. Like, that's kind of what I gathered by the end of the weekend.
Okay.
And so the spicy little eye drops, I forget what they're called. When I tell you.
Oh, no, Christina.
First of all, I felt my eye was like bothering me a little bit on the drive up. And I was like, ah, whatever. And I have eye problems.
Yeah.
Like Jewish eye problems. Yeah. Like Jewish stomach and Jewish eyes.
Yeah.
And I get styes a lot. And I felt like something kind of bubbling in my eye. And I was like, oh, whatever. And it seemed minor, but who knows? So I had the spicy eye drops.
Oh, dear.
I was like, this isn't a good sign. If this is the first thing I'm doing and this is the first reaction I'm having to this whole fucking night, I don't know that I like this, but whatever. You got to surrender. Just fucking forget about it. I screamed, motherfucker. Oh, God, help me, motherfucker. And not only that, I was lying down on my back on the yoga mat. I somehow managed to fully flip over onto my stomach. I don't know how. I don't know how I did it. And I started crying. It hurt. The pain is going to be felt in future lifetimes for me. I mean, it was awful. It was awful. I'll never fucking do it again. I got angry that it hurt that bad.
It would make me lose trust for the person running the thing,
it did,
too.
Yeah, I got to be honest, it did.
Yeah.
But then it was regained because I did get a sty in my eye. So my eye like had this huge, like it looked like a welt in it.
Yeah, I was like, your eyes are great now.
Yeah, but you could kind of tell if you see here, this is where it was.
A little bit.
Just a little.
Yeah.
So it did heal.
Okay.
It did heal. And perhaps with that, because usually a sty, if I don't get antibiotic eye drops in it, it lasts for 5 days.
For sure.
So it's possible to credit this medicine with the healing of it and like the progression of like, let's just get the sty out of your eye. Cause it was brewing before the medicine.
Okay. All right.
But it hurts so bad.
Okay.
Oh,
and then what was the shaman's reaction? Was that like a reaction that she had seen before?
I didn't ask. I'm assuming no.
Well, I was like, based on her reaction. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she had to go around and like give it to everybody else. So the sitters that were there were like kept giving me tissues. My nose, it was just, I was expelling stuff and I was crying because it fucking freaked me out. Like I have.
Sure.
Nobody likes their eye getting touched. But the one of the things that sold me on these eye drops were how they are administered is you close your eyes. I'm going to drop three drops on the corners of your eyes and then you blink. And I was like, sold, motherfucker. I'll do that. I won't do the holding my eye open for an eye drop. Sorry. I'll do it when I'm administering the eye drop, but not when somebody else is. And so I did that and it wasn't good.
So what you're saying is you didn't see more clearly after that.
No, not at all. Saw worse. Saw way worse. Fucking sucked. It fucking was awful.
Oh,
and I was so like
terrible.
Traumatized. Honestly, it was like traumatizing. You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And you, honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time, because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Yeah, but I have a picture in my head of exactly how you're reacting to this. And I go, wow.
And you are correct.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
So then that takes about 15 minutes for me to fucking calm down. And then we all get the ayahuasca. We say our intentions. We have a, she has, I'm sure, I know that there are names for these objects that I'm about to describe. I just don't know what these names are. But she had a turtle shell on a stick with feathers coming out of it. You know, just, yeah.
Okay.
And we all went around, we shook it, we set our intention, you know, and then we took the ayahuasca.
Okay.
And it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Is it like a tea form?
It was like a little, yeah. So it was brewing when we got into the house. Uh-huh. And you could smell it. And it smelled kind of gnarly. But then when you got it in the cup, it looked like syrup.
Okay.
Like with grains in it, like grainy syrup, like dirt.
Okay.
And so it tasted fine. And I was like, sick. And then we waited. And then I threw up. And I was like, okay, cool.
Like how long after?
Maybe like 20 minutes.
Okay.
I think the ceremony probably lasted like for 5 hours and we started at 8 p.m. So it was a late night. And you know, when I'm tired, I'm like, I don't want to fucking be here. I don't want to do this. But I was good. It was staying in and I felt good. I just felt, I was more so observing everybody. So I'm like, oh, this person's crying and probably getting something out. And this person is doing this and this person's dancing. And that's really cool. And so the next day we did an integration. But where we talked about what we experienced.
What are you doing for 5 hours? Like, are you just sitting
there? Oh, and so another important part was the shaman and a lot of the sitters are singers and musicians. So they played music. They had drums there. They had a guitar. Gorgeous singers.
Okay, they're good at it. Thank God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
They sucked.
Being held prisoner by ayahuasca and then also by a band, like a struggling folk artist. Guys, buy my EP. It's coming out next year.
Dude, I'd fucking bail.
Oh, yeah.
So it was about 5 hours. She asked if people wanted a second cup in the midway. I didn't want one because I was feeling it. And I was like, I also felt a little nauseous. So I'm like, I don't want to take more.
Yeah.
And then there was this thing called, hookah. It's not hookah. It's, if you know what I'm talking about, you're probably screaming it into your phone, but, it's a tobacco and okay. It's something that it's, but she sprung this on us. Gotta be honest. She sprung this on us in the middle of the ceremony. And I'm like, nah, girl, I need an advance notice on these drugs or this medicine that you're going to give us.
Because you already have something in your system.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I don't want to make that decision.
Exactly. Under the influence, basically. Yeah. I know it's medicine, but still, I mean, yeah.
And fortunately, I was not like carried away by ayahuasca, but a lot of people were. And I'm like, how can they? Like, I saw one of the
Can you sign a contract on ayahuasca?
I'm guessing. Sign an NDA. Not on
it. But yeah, not on it.
Not an NDA, but like I'm agreeing to do this on my own accord
thing.
No, I don't think you could. You shouldn't be able to. But and then so it was hookah, I think it was, or something like that.
Okay.
Something. So it was this beautiful like pipe, long pipe, like that was C-shaped.
Okay.
And it was powder that she loaded into one end and she blew it into your nose, one of your nostrils, as you blew it through your mouth. Apparently that does all this stuff.
Okay.
But I did not experience that.
I don't like other people's breath in my body.
That's true. That's yes.
That feels so invasive.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But
It feels like, you know, that thing where you suck up, you can suck boogers out of your infant's nose.
Ugh. Oh, that's so disgusting.
Aww.
Maybe if it was my baby, I would.
Yeah, I was like, that wouldn't bother me. So I would do it to Alfred.
If Alfred needed a little boogie. So we had an integration integration session the next day. Just talked about what we learned. And then in the middle of the day. So the woman who was the shaman, she was younger than me. I don't know how old, but I'm a guess she was younger than me. That's, she's felt younger than me. Her partner, as I was pulling into the driveway at the start of the weekend, he was like limping to his car. Apparently he looked, the way he looked and what he's describing, I'm like, oh shit, he has kidney stones. He's going, he was on his way to the ER.
Oh mother.
And he's okay. Like, there's a shooting pain in my lower. He looked like shit. Like, I didn't know. I've never met him before, but he looked like he was in a lot of pain. And I was like, oh my God, it's terrible.
I've been like, shake a little ayahuasca on it. It works so good, buddy.
Well, he went to the ER. They took all these scans and stuff. They took all these tests. They didn't know what it was and they sent him home.
Fun.
And they're like, sorry. And he's like, what the fuck? I'm in so much pain.
Yeah, that's, I've done that a lot many times.
So the cambo, I'm pronouncing it wrong. I don't know how, it's K-A-M-B-O though is how it's spelled, that I know, is frog poison. So frog poison is, yeah. And what you do is, you're going to love this part, you make two burns in the person's skin and you wait for it to blister
with,
and you
what,
put the
cigarette?
Frog person in the burn. You put the frog poison in the burn.
What are they burning you with?
She used an incense stick.
Oh, okay. So basically a cigarette. Okay.
Yeah. Just whatever works. And so when he got home the next day, which was the Saturday, he looked like he was in a lot of pain. And I asked him, like, what I was like, do I want to do this cambo thing? Apparently it's supposed to detox you of all the toxins in your body, all the heavy metals. And I was like, that seems very interesting.
Right.
But then I was informed how it's administered and what it was. I'm like, okay, what if I have like a reaction that's not good? I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't feel safe. So I said,
a lot of variables here.
Yeah. And I asked, is it possible to like witness him get it? And she said, yeah, for sure.
They said, that's our kink. We've been waiting for a woman to come and ask that.
I took my vibrator, my Itachi magic wand, which I was instructed to bring. Well, I always thought that was weird, but lo and behold, there was a purpose. So I watched her burn him, his arms, and then two burn marks in his arms, and then put the cambo in the wound.
Why the two?
I don't know. She said sometimes people do 10. Like, it's all varying.
Just like
she was trained
multiple
in this.
Points of entry.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was trained. Like, she knew her shit. At first, I was like, are you full of shit?
Right.
But honestly, I was like, I kept it to myself. But I was like, I don't know, man. Some of this stuff doesn't rub me the right way. But as the weekend progressed, I'm like, no, you know your shit.
So I mean, that's good. That's how you should kind of be going into any situation.
For sure. It's new for me. Usually I'm just blind trust.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But I watched him and she said a lot of times the purging can be like violent in terms of like just the act of throw. You're going to throw up and it's going to, all the toxins are going to be like drawn in.
Okay.
Because what it does, because it's entering through a burn mark, it's going through all your lymph nodes.
Okay.
And collecting all the toxins.
Okay.
And so his face swelled up. He was barfing for like anywhere between 5 and 30 minutes. His was about 20. And I watched him. I was like, this is really interesting. And then afterwards, he looked like a million fucking bucks.
Oh.
And he said the pain was gone.
Wow.
And I was like, well, goddamn.
Okay.
That, I just saw that before my eyes. Like, he was in pain and then he just wasn't.
And we find out it's all trained actors. It's like the hair stuff from Sweeney Todd where all of a sudden.
So that was really cool.
Okay.
And then the second ceremony that night happened. And I, again, there was a lot of people like crying and, you know, dealing with stuff. There was a lot of heavy stuff. Let's, you know, no one is just like perfectly fine goes to do ayahuasca.
That is okay. So this, I have to tell you, this is so funny because Chloe asked me, Chloe LeBranch, like I was in Chicago this weekend and she was asking about you and she's like, how's Christina? I was like, oh, Christina's doing great. And I was like, she's actually going on an ayahuasca retreat this weekend. And then Chloe goes, no one who's doing great is going on an ayahuasca retreat. And it just, the way she said it was just so fucking funny.
It was very funny. And there's definitely a lot of truth to that. Although I gotta say, I am okay, so which is nice. But I'm like, you know what? Two psychics told me I was molested as a kid sexually. Mm-hmm. And then I did a fucking regression. And then I was like, there were memories, but I'm like, I still don't know. So I'm like,
sure.
Maybe ayahuasca will make me deal with it. If it's something that even has to be dealt with, who fucking knows? If I can live blissfully ignorant to it, God bless. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
And so yeah, I came to the second night and I was like, honestly, if I'm being real honest, I want to get psychic powers. I just do. I want them. I apparently already have them, but I want more of them. I want them revamped.
Is that like,
an effect that can happen. You get really psychic and you get really
ayahuasca?
Yeah. So the spirit of the medicine like works with you and can really, a lot of people have reported who didn't ask for this, reported like being super psychic and having like, wild lucid dreaming abilities and all this stuff. So I was like, well, you had me at that.
Okay.
So I was like, if I'm going to pick an intention, whatever needs to happen, happens. But if I'm going to pick, like, give me psychic powers.
And you eat, you eat between the ceremonies, right? Are you allowed to?
Right after the ceremonies in the middle of the night, I just fucking stuffed my face. Yes. So
and you're allowed to. Okay.
You're allowed to. You can eat whatever you want. And I went like a fucking a stoner at an old country buffet. I mean, Jesus Christ, I ate so much food. And then I got a stomach ache. But so then the next day we couldn't, we had to cap the eating at 2. So that by the time the ceremony came at 8 o'clock, we were like, you know, not full. And so, yeah, I was like, I really would love psychic powers. But I'm also like here to serve you too. So if that's better, just looking, whatever you got to do, girl, whatever you want to do.
Right.
And it was another really gentle experience. I was laughing. And there's one point, so a lot of people were crying.
And are you conversing with each other or kind of staying on your own mat?
And you can't touch each other. You can't talk to each other. You can't
you're not allowed
to. Experiencing, it's an individual experience together.
Interesting.
Which I really liked that. And one of the sitters the second night, like we all opened up about like our shit that was happening in our lives or like what our trauma is, because we all obviously had it. And some of the stories I was like, God damn, that you are a strong motherfucker. One of the sitters shared a story about his life that I was like, you are a pretty fucking fantastic human being. And then that night at the ceremony during the ayahuasca, even though he was a sitter, you can't tell how this drug is, what the drug's going to do to you, right?
Of course.
Because I was asking the sitters, I'm like, wait, you're all on ayahuasca. So like, what if you start bawling?
Yeah.
Do we comfort you? Like, what's up? She goes, there's enough of us here that that's not going to happen. So I was like, okay.
All right. They
were lovely. The sitters were just lovely people that I really felt a nice connection with. But one of the sitters that second night had like a moment. But I saw him grieve for a story that he had shared where he acted like the asshole. And he was really ashamed of that. And then I watched him. I heard him during the ceremony. I was like, whoa, this is really interesting. Like, he is going through it.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, we closed it with a fire ceremony where we talked about the thing we wanted to let go.
Mm.
And we threw these herbs into the fire. It was so beautiful. And he said, he goes, I feel like I, in a way, was able to somewhat karmically repay the person that I fucked over by what I just experienced. Because I felt all the shame and all the anger. And it wasn't a beating myself up. It was like, no, you need to fucking feel this. And I was like, that's pretty much exactly my interpretation based off hearing and seeing you.
Whoa.
It was really cool.
Uh-huh.
It was really cool. And
you didn't feel like, I know you don't often feel this as much as I do, but like, you know, like when I go to concerts are like ruined for me because other people are going through shit. Like you, so with people going through things this heavy around you, you didn't feel like that like energy got on you?
Only because these people didn't suck. If these people sucked, I wouldn't have wanted to take in their grief or their, you know, like they were
but
kind.
But you felt like you were taking it in, but it was okay? Or you feel like they kept it to themselves?
It was just in the room. I didn't take it on in any way. I didn't feel bad for them. I was excited for them.
Right.
I was honestly like, this is going to be so sick for you. Because that year that I was scream crying every day, that's what was happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
But in like a short period of time. And
sure.
I'm like, oh, I just raw dogged the release without drugs.
Right.
But they're using drugs to like help facilitate. There was this one.
Right.
Oh, God. This daughter and her father came and they had done the ceremony before and they were the sweetest people. And, they shared that there was a narcissist. Her mother was a narcissist. And that's all I'll say. But like, I was so shocked because they were so nice.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't believe that this man who was married, presumably, and this woman who was raised by this woman who was a narcissist.
Well, you're nice.
That's true. But they, like, they were so nice that I'm like, they was like next level. And it wasn't fake. It wasn't like, they were just genuinely like the sweetest. They were so sweet that I just wanted to protect them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't in a pathetic way. It wasn't an act. It wasn't it was just like, oh
just
my
like
God.
Too good for this world.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I felt about them.
Yeah.
And they had a great sense of humor or whatever. But, you know, and then her dad had a tough time in one of the ceremonies, but it was beautiful because I was like, the people that have a tough time, I was like, man, you're going to feel
They're
so
gonna
good
so
after this.
They're going to get so much out of it. Yeah.
Feel so good after this.
Right.
So the second ceremony, I definitely got like a higher feeling.
Okay.
But I was still like, I was just fucking dancing. And then I had a scarf on me and I felt bad. I was smiling so big. I was so happy. And I didn't feel bad about being happy as people were like, oh God, fuck. Oh no. You know?
Sure.
I didn't feel bad. It didn't feel weird to be honest, but I felt like I want to be respectful. So for some reason in that moment, I just covered my eyes with my scarf and I was just dancing, sitting down with a fucking giant smile. And I heard one of the sitters at one point go, yo, look at Christina. I'm like, hell yeah, girl. I was just having the best time. The best time. And then that's when the so fire funny. Ceremony happened, we talked about what we wanted to let go. And I wrote about, she's like, you know, the shaman was like, I really encourage you. This is not public speaking. This is vulnerability. So I really encourage you to be as vulnerable as you feel comfortable with what you want to say you want to let go. Like, don't just say, like, I want to let go of this and then throw it. Like, really try to, like. And so it was beautiful. That's where that guy who was the sitter had talked about, like, he felt like he actually paid karma through this ayahuasca setting because right. the person that he had really fucked over that he felt so much shame about, he, like, felt her emotions. And I was like, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And then I talked about, I wanted to let go of my rage.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about, like, you know, a parent using suicide as a manipulation tactic and not knowing and feeling so bad for them and, like, heartbroken over their sadness only to realize that they were manipulating you. It's just, like, such a mind fuck. Obviously, a person that does that has a deep sadness. It's just not what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I really, I haven't talked about this in a minute because I used to talk about it all fucking goddamn day to anybody who would listen, including strangers. But just like, my mom did this and then she did this and then she did this. And it's like, I made it my identity and it wasn't cute. But that was part of my healing process. And but I kind of was like, one of the things I wrote that I was like, should I read this out loud? Are people like, they don't want to fucking hear this shit. But I'm like, nah, I listen to everybody else.
They
go.
Love it. Right? They fucking love it.
But I'm like, every time I had a moment in my life that was a coming of age moment that signified my growth, she robbed me. Losing my virginity.
Yeah.
Robbed me of how that it wasn't like the person I was seeing wasn't a good time, but that like she completely tainted all of these seem like experiences that could be beautiful for me. And I know that came from a place of pain. So that's, I don't blame her at all for that. But like also fuck you.
It's
you know
hard
what I mean?
To forgive people for stealing your joy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. And then when they don't acknowledge it, and when you tell them you stole my joy in these moments, and they're like, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's where a lot of my rage stems from is that. And then having a father with a massive temper, massive temper between that and then having a mother who like try to either take her own life or completely literally leave me in a Walmart or leave me in a restaurant when I'm too young to drive and I can't fucking get around anywhere. It's like, dude, the parent you wanted to be was so not the parent that you were. And it partly was because you couldn't even fucking come to terms with what you did. Because that could honestly, and I still think this could heal everything, Ma, if you're listening. Is just actually apologizing and like recognizing that I fucked up, which I have heard from her, but still in like, there's still defensiveness and there should be no defensiveness in an apology. And as somebody who gets defensive, because I never want to hurt anybody. So when I do, I just feel so ashamed. You just got to fucking get over it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's the problem with an apology, because you have to then like admit to yourself how much you hurt somebody.
Yes.
And that's really difficult for some people.
Yes. And that male sitter who was going through that thing, he was saying that he had attributed his tough feelings he was experiencing to this one person that was hurting him, when really he was using that person as a distraction because the person before this he hurt and he didn't want to look at that, so he was just preoccupied with him being abused in a like a relationship. I'm like, that's very interesting. And also like, what a man. Oh, I loved this guy. This guy fucking ruled. He was just a beautiful soul. As were everybody there. They're really lovely. And so, yeah. So I talked about the rage and I wanted to throw that away. And that felt great. And then, yeah. And then the next day I was ready to get the fuck out of there. And I had to leave early. So I left earlier than everybody else. But I was like, I'm kind of glad that that happened the way that it
was like more happening.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Another integration session.
Oh.
And I went first and I had to leave before it ended, which I loved hearing everybody's stories. And it was really cool to watch. A lot of the women in the room were mothers, and to watch them talk about their children and to watch this one girl's dad. They were there together. He was the sweetest dad. Oh, fucking fuck. This man was so sweet. And it was very healing to watch a dad be sweet to his daughter.
Mm.
And it was also very healing to watch these women talk about their children in this beautiful way. I don't know the extent of their relationships, but like, sure. I only know what they share with me. But it was really lovely. Mm-hmm. And it was just great. And then I think that one of the very tiny things that I took away that I'd shared in one of the integration sessions, I thought was interesting, but it was so little. But I'm like, I have a feeling that the benefits of doing the ayahuasca are going to emerge over time. It's not going to be an immediate thing, which is great because that's I love immediate gratification. And this is not that, which is fantastic for me. But the second night when I threw up, it didn't dawn on me until I was throwing up the second time. But when I was a kid, I would always puke. Always. Like I would go to the ER a lot as a child.
Me
I was
too.
Just violently vomiting. Yeah, and then I would always have to stick IVs in me.
Really? That was a big thing for me too. I was a big vomiter. I vomited in clothing stores, restaurants, my grandparents' anniversary party.
Did you ever figure out what was wrong?
I don't think anything was wrong. I think I was just
get sick.
I was just my body's way. And to this day, my body's way of expelling things that needn't be inside it is vomiting.
So yes.
Simple as that.
I realize when I look back at my childhood with all the vomiting, I'm like, that's what that was. That was just detoxing.
That's how I always looked at it.
Emotions.
Yeah. I loved it because it's almost like I always thought of it. Well, I mean, when I was little, I didn't think about it this way. But now as an adult, I always think about it as it's like my body's way of advocating for itself.
Yes.
Like when,
totally.
Like just the same way as like me, the person, Corinne, knows when to get people away. Even I have, it's almost like I have even my actual physical body knows how to do that. And I'm always like, go you body.
Yeah. Yeah. Vomiting is a really important part of like the purging process with toxins. Like when you drink too much and you vomit, that's your body going, you just poisoned me and I'm going to say no.
Things I don't want
no.
Me immediately vomit.
Yeah.
Like it comes up so fast for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. When I vomited during that second ceremony, I realized that every time my whole life up until that point, every single time I've ever thrown up, which is a lot of times, it's a lot of times. When I went to Penn State, I would just drink on an empty stomach hug the toilet.
Yeah.
I was always so miserable. I was always so like, ugh, just so hyperbolically miserable.
Right.
Like it didn't call for that type of misery.
Right.
Food poisoning kind of does. But like a lot of the vomiting I did, like when I was a kid, I don't think that was food poisoning. Who knows? But like, you know, I just was always miserable. I was always like very Steven about it.
Right.
No offense, Steven. But and I was like, I was in such a great mood during that ceremony, which struck me additionally, too, because I was so fucking hungry that it's hard for me to be in a good mood when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But I was so giddy and I was like, oh, shit, we're going to purge and this is going to be beautiful and it's going to be amazing. And my inner voice was so nice. Mm-hmm. And I was like, as I was throwing up, I was like, yeah, girl, you got this. Like, fucking throw up. Yes. And I was like, I've never been in a good mood while vomiting in my life.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And I was in such a good mood as I was throwing up. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm in a good mood while I'm puking. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the value in this ayahuasca thing, at least the more immediate value that I can gather is that it was a very gentle experience. And I think that because my own mother was traumatized to the point where she raised me that, and it really traumatized me. I think that maybe the mother spirit in ayahuasca was like, we're just going to be nice to you. Mm. We're going to hold you, and you need a mother energy that is kind and caring and not too invasive and gentle and just lets you be yourself. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, fucking A. And I think that I've noticed things. I don't know if it's like this could all be like a placebo effect. However, I've kind of noticed my thought process in the last 2 days. I mean, you're listening to this a lot later. We're recording this kind of right after it happened. But my thought process, I'm actually finally thinking of long-term consequences, which was a real bad thing that I was fucking me up for a long time. That's where addiction stems.
Sorry, what do you mean? What do you mean?
So not like the things that I do immediately, if they feel good, but they fuck me up in the long run. So like eating really sugary foods, not having a good healthy diet and exercise regimen. Like sometimes I'm on with it, sometimes I'm off. But like drugs, just like fucking doing drugs, Adderall, smoking, all this stuff. Like, and also like how I treat people, just everything. It's like, It all adds up to these long-term consequences am I the person that I want to be?
Yes.
And so I feel like, and I know that a lot of times The Body Keeps a Score, Bessel van der Kolk, who wrote that book, certainly talked about this. When you experience a lot of trauma as a child, your long-term part of your brain that does the long-term thinking of like, will this be good for me later on?
Right.
Is fucking shot.
Right.
You can, of course, regain it back through a lot of work and therapy, but that's one of the things that goes when you're traumatized. Mm-hmm. So that's why you can make decisions like you're a fucking teenager and you're like, I'm never going to die, because you don't, the part in your brain that is like, hey, let's intervene here and actually do a little checking to see if this is what you want to be doing, is virtually dead. Mm. And that's one of the things that you recover during therapy. So, So I feel like I could be making this up, but it does kind of feel like I have more thoughtfulness in that realm. It was really cool. I do recommend it. Not for everybody, but I had a great experience. It was very gentle.
Yeah.
I was so excited to not be wilding out. And at the same time, I wasn't like relieved not to be like, oh, thank God I'm not the one fucking crying and screaming. It wasn't like that at all. It's like, this is nice to be calm. Mm. This is just nice. So there you go.
Yeah, I'll do it one time in my life. I mean, I'm just, because for me, it's like the hesitation is, I'm never scared for what's going to come out of me. I'm always petrified for what's going to come out of other people.
And
choosing to be it, like, because I don't like, because I don't know what they're going to do. And I just have like this distrust of like how they're going to react and then how that's going to somehow affect me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not scared of anything that's hidden in me.
Right.
I'm scared of everything that's both hidden and not hidden in others.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
And also just like finding someone that I feel comfortable being vulnerable. And it's not about that I need someone to feel comfortable about being emotionally vulnerable about, because I actually find it very, it's easy to be vulnerable emotionally around other people. It's literally what we do for a living.
Yeah.
I find it easier to be emotionally vulnerable around people I don't know than people I do know, in fact.
Yes, I agree.
So the stranger aspect is great, but I'm like, for me, it's more like the, to feel like physically safe. Like if something went wrong, like if this affects me wrong, like, can I trust these people around me to like fucking call 911 and like get me to safety.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing.
Absolutely. I didn't look this up, but like, I don't know if anybody's ever died doing it. I've no idea. Like, I don't, like, is there a situation that you would ever need to call 911? I don't know. I
mean, these kind of drugs.
There has to be.
I mean, like, I didn't do research for ayahuasca, but I did research for this for DMT about dying. And it's like those kind of psychedelic drugs have a extremely low rate, like especially the drug killing you. What you have to worry about is that you will react in a way that you will put yourself in physical harm, like jump off a roof or go swimming in something.
You can't move. Like it's like a couple of the people that were having like a rougher time, like they needed help going to the bathroom. Like they needed to be walked to the bathroom. So you ain't going to do nothing that's going to harm anybody.
Right.
And it is very individual. Like you don't, even though you're sitting very close on a yoga mat to somebody else, it's still very individual.
Were you cold or hot or regular?
I had a bunch of blankets. I went through all the temperature changes. Okay. When they put those spicy ass eye drops in my eye, I took my shirt off and I was in my sports bra and I was like, fuck. It hurts so bad that I started profusely sweating. It was awful.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
Fucking awful. But it was, I was very trusting. I came in cautious in a healthy way, I think. And then I got to know the people. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. And they just happened to not suck. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine that every group is like that. Ain't no fucking way every group is like that.
Statistically impossible.
Yeah. And there was a couple men there, and they were really lovely. The dad, of course, was emotional, and I just loved him so much. Oh my God, I love that man. And his daughter was so lovely. But then there were two other men there that was just great. They didn't really talk much. Very calming. Mm. Very like, I'm like, okay, I liked the energy. If there was someone there whose energy I didn't like, I don't want to fucking hear you cry. I don't know why. I just don't. Yeah, I don't want to hear your problems. Yeah. I don't want to hear you. I will say that the emoting that happens is like a healing thing. So I don't know if anybody's ever done ayahuasca and then been like gone on a cursing rampage or something, or just started screaming like mean things or whatever. I'm sure it's happened, but like it's more people dealing with the pain inside of them. So, and it wasn't,
I feel like if you don't like someone though, like that, they probably need to heal the pain inside of them.
For sure.
Most.
For sure. 100%. And that's my immediate instinct of like, I don't think I would like, I just, because I was so comfortable with everybody emoting and I didn't take it on in any way. Mm-hmm. It's because I like their goodness was so clear to me. Mm-hmm. And if their goodness wasn't clear to me, or maybe I thought they were like had a motive or whatever the fuck dumb shit my ego was making up. I don't know how I would react to it.
Seems like there has to be like some piece of at least good intention that you have if you're going on a retreat like this, that you're interested in getting in healing or getting better.
I agree. The only type of person I can imagine actually going to one of these retreats and fucking ruining it is like an influencer.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the only fucking cunt
yep.
that would ruin it for everybody is right. a fucking influencer.
Right, right, right.
Again, the not having the phone.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love that part.
Actually not on your phone for like 72 hours or
no, we got them back during the day Saturday. She put them in a box, our phone and our car keys.
Oh,
because sometimes people
your car keys.
Yeah. Cause it like I know. And again, uh-oh. I was like, why you need my car
movie
keys?
Fucking begins.
100% I was thinking that. But it's really like she's like sometimes people are like so excited about like their revelations that they just want to fucking like leave.
Oh.
And I'm like, uh-oh, no.
Oh no.
So
then she said, and actually we do a key party afterwards.
Who was cocaine? it was really cool. Mm. It was really cool. It was cool. It was so subtle. It was so nice to have a subtle drug experience.
Yeah, I was definitely expecting a wilder story.
Me too.
So
I got what I needed, you know?
That's what you know?
Yeah, you get what you need,
not what you want. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's like really the motto for life.
Yeah.
The slogan for life.
Thoughts, Michael?
Mike, definitely not. Michael, 100% never doing ayahuasca in his life.
No.
No, why would I?
Yeah, I know. I could tell Michael would never do that.
Close-minded. No, not everybody has to want to do it.
I have no interest. I mean, I have.
Okay. You got some fears, though.
Yeah, of course
you.
I do.
Yeah.
Ooh, you maybe you could ask the mother spirit to make Mike fly.
Aw. Fly like a Michael to the sea.
No, you're never going to catch me doing ayahuasca.
No, we didn't think you. We're going to
catch you outside not doing ayahuasca.
Yeah, I'll be not doing ayahuasca.
Yeah.
Just watching a baseball game. You guys do ayahuasca.
Jesus.
Good
fucking dropping shit, ruining the ceremony, dropping shit, coughing, and sneezing. And another thing that this evening was like, you know, substances have been used since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like the second man found like tobacco and all.
Well, didn't
all
we drink
things.
Something in Tulum and then we just didn't want to be rude, but we didn't really know what the guy was giving us? Remember in the forest?
Oh, when I wore that bathing suit that was way too sexy for the occasion.
Yeah. We're like,
right.
Better be drugged than to be disrespectful to the forest man.
That's true. And we all drank out of the same cup, though. I remember I'm like,
that was
I guess
the part
I'm
that ruined
this?
Me the I didn't care about the germs. Substance. I was like, I just don't want to. Can I get my own cup? That was my issue. Because
we were on the brink of a pandemic.
Pandemic or no pandemic, I don't like sharing fucking, again, that's why one of the things I hate most about weed culture is the sharing of the joint. I find it disgusting.
Technically, it is disgusting if you allow yourself to think about it, which you should. I don't, but.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and
process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Typically in ayahuasca ceremonies in Peru or in whatever, you do share the same cup because it's like a communal thing. But yeah. But we had our own cups.
Nice.
It also made me have an appreciation for substances. And with weed, I've been smoking weed a lot less. But I was like, whenever I smoke weed, I want to set an intention and not just fucking smoke weed. I feel like, goddamn, with all the respect that we paid to these plant medicines, it really makes me realize how obnoxiously just lackadaisical we are about the substances in our lives, tobacco being one of them, cannabis being another one, and alcohol is a grain. Alcohol comes from a fermented grain. So it's like, you know,
people are using these substances to run.
Right. And we're so abusing the beauty in these substances and actually completely missing out on the benefits and doing them too much. America, right?
Yeah.
So it made me like reappreciate weed and like tobacco. Like I didn't realize tobacco is a very ancient like spiritual drug.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the hookah, the humba, whatever the fuck. I'm so sorry. I don't remember the name of it. But it was mostly tobacco powder, specific type of tobacco leaf powder. But the people that I saw do it. They really like they purged a lot right after, but they also were like describing like these beautiful effects from it. I'm like, fucking tobacco, man. We just fucking smoke a cigarette and then throw it on the ground. It's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
So it made me be more respectful to the food I put in my body, but also the substances and how like they could be incredibly beautiful experiences if done with respect, research in the right setting and intention.
Mm-hmm.
Intention. So I will never again smoke marijuana without setting an intention about it. Even if it's just, I just want to connect to my child self. Like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my ayahuasca experience.
Nice.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds super pleasant.
I liked it a lot. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Went to the witch store in Chicago, Malloway Brothers. And I was like, of course, I was like, I found out the actual brothers owned it. And I go, already don't love it.
Chicago Warlock store.
Well, I like one of the things about witchcraft is, well, usually both male and female witches are just witches. Warlock is more like derogatory.
Oh,
but
that's good to know.
Yeah. Like, I just love how feminine of a religion Wicca is. Like, that's one of my favorite things about it, that it's super feminine led. Like, a lot
you
of
love
that,
ayahuasca is very divine feminine is the whole fucking point of it.
Even though there are, you know, many men who practice Wicca or magic, or whatever you're calling it. Yeah. And so, and of course, I asked the guy who worked there, like, first of all, are these actual brothers? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I've seen some things in this store that I haven't seen. I was like, I've been to witchcraft stores all over America and Canada, and I've never seen so many animal parts. Because that part, I was trying to be open-minded because it was, I would almost describe it as like a non-denominational, non-mainstream religion store, because there was a lot of like, it was not just Wicca or paganism. It was there was elements Kabbalah? For voodoo.
Oh.
No, Kabbalah is still mainstream.
Is voodoo bad?
No, 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 okay. Voodoo is an actual religion that many people practice, but they do use like animal parts in it. So I can't be proud. And it's also like, I mean, in New Orleans, it actually is a really big religion, but like a lot of times they are like, you'll see like, you know, dead chickens and stuff. And that's, and so I'm just not going to partake in anything where we're making animal sacrifices, but sure, it's part of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was trying to be non-judgmental, but it's very hard for me when there's just like buckets of animal parts and like, you know, that they didn't just take the boar's nose off when the boar was dead anyway. Like something
it wasn't roadkill first.
Yeah. So you're just like, oh, there's a lot of animal parts in here. But I was like, okay. And then, I mean, you can use animal parts in, you know, Wiccan spells. Of, I mean, I think it's all based on like how it makes you feel. So if it's something that makes you feel uncomfortable, like me, I'm never going to incorporate an animal part into a spell or magic work. Cause I just don't feel, and I feel like when you like know about the foundation of, I mean, I could see using an animal part if the animal was dead anyway, for sure, because it's very into like using all the parts and like not wasting. But to me, to kill an animal, I just don't see like to, I don't know. Anyway, but I was like, try not to be judgmental. I was like, there's other things in here besides what you do. And most people think what you do is crazy. So that's fine.
Sure.
But then if I asked the guy about it and he was like, yeah, the brothers, they just wanted a place where they could do the most hardcore stuff. And I was like, of course, even men had to step into witchcraft and make it as hardcore as possible. I was like, some things don't need to be hardcore.
Yeah.
But it made me laugh. It was a really one of the best stores I've been to. But I was like, I could have done without that.
Yeah. So funny.
And it was fun. And we were with the guy, the comic who was hosting for the weekend, or shout out Eric Freddy. And I, you know, most times, you know, a man who's not into that kind of thing, kills the vibe, but he was so great.
Yeah.
And he was so
good,
like,
sport.
Interested and curious and not just respectful, didn't try to rush us because it wasn't something that he was into. Like, me and Chloe were in there, we're doing spells, we're doing making bottles, we're nice. We took our time.
Good. Yeah,
And he was like so nice the whole time. So aww. I was just like, this is just Eric Freddy, no red flags.
Yay.
Which is almost an impossibility.
I know. I never heard you say that.
I said, I've been scanning you all weekend. I said, I've been looking for problems, Eric. I'm from you, quite honest.
Yeah.
Been going out of my way to find them.
Yeah. Found none. That's great.
And I didn't. So that was lovely. But I mean, that was kind of like the culmination, not the culmination, but it was very on theme for all the things I've been working on this year. Because like, you know me, I love to produce. I love to, you know, have achievements. I love a certificate or an award. And I really didn't do anything this, you know, from an outsider's perspective, I probably made very little progress in my career or life this year. But internally, I feel like it was probably one of the most life-changing years of my life so far.
Yay.
For the better. I mean, also, and I mean, listen, the year's not over yet, so I certainly don't want to jinx it, but like, you know, also going off of what was the worst year of my life so far, 2022, and listen, I'm sure there will be worse years, and I'm ready for them. It was, you know, it did, 2023 didn't have to do that much to deliver, you know?
The bar was low.
The bar was extremely
just
low.
Just no relative deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was great because I set a lot of, you know, intentions like you're talking about to, you know, when I was trying to work on things, especially after my dad died, I wanted to work on things that weren't like achievement based in the human realm, you know, like not like, you know, get this many views or do this special or get this job. Like those things seemed kind of meaningless, to be honest.
Yeah.
At that period. And I certainly didn't want to focus on relationships since I had just exited one because I wasn't in a place to be going through that. So I had to find other, you know, ways to find achievement. And I did find that in like reconnecting with like, you know, Wicca basically that I had, you know, always been interested in. But, you know, since I was like had placed on a bit of a shelf since I was in middle school or high school, and then to re-pick up something that I had a love for, a genuine love for,
nice,
as a child, and reconnect with it and get really into it.
That's so
in
nice.
A way that I, you know, as an adult that I can, you know, grasp some of these concepts at a much higher level, have a much stronger intuition, you know, am an adult living on my own so it can set things up in my house. Like it's been extremely gratifying in a way that I never expected.
That's awesome.
And also, I know like a lot of people started, you know, reaching out to me about like, you know, tarot and witchcraft and advice. And I'm like, I will talk about it from time to time, but I got to be honest, I'm not going to respond to any of those because it's like, I really needed one thing for me. Yeah. And so there will be no Wicca podcast. There's not going to be a live stream about Wicca. I'm not going to be giving my top 10 recommendations for hat witchcraft. Like, you know, this is something for you.
It's
a really
so vital.
Personal, you know, thing. The reason I talk about it more is just because it's been a big part of my year. And also, I guess, to take the stigma off of witchcraft a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
But other than that, like, yeah, I kind of like, you know, people ask me, like, can you do a tarot card reading for me? No. Yeah, I can't do any of these things because that's when I think the most important thing. It's like there has to be something for me and something, mm-hmm. especially because one of my greatest joys, you know, writing and comedy, you know, became my career. So then I don't have a private hobby for me.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like my exploration into, you know, spirituality or spell casting or any of that kind of stuff. That's like my own thing for me. And I've also like not gotten new friends, but like taking existing friendships to new levels because nice. I feel like there's like an understanding between witches.
Yeah.
And it's been funny because I see people like making fun of me about it online and I go, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's
Enjoy
fine.
Enjoy your life, loser.
That's been my whole life. You know, people attempting to make fun of me because I'm doing something weird and it's like, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's your thing. People not my like thing. Weird. Yeah.
Which is dumb because weird's so fun.
I don't mind it.
It's unique, but
it's
yeah.
It's okay. You just don't get it.
Yeah. Right.
It's all good.
You're just a loser, motherfucker.
I don't even think that. I'm just like, you don't get it. It's okay.
Yeah. That's great.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Michael, thoughts on this year? The thing, intentions we're setting for 2024?
Yeah, what are your intentions?
Intentions for 2024, primarily to take a little bit better care of my, I guess narrowly I'll say body, like my health.
Yeah,
your physical self.
Yeah, I said this 2023 was spent, a lot of time was spent in building the studio. So I neglected some part, but it's not health is broader than just, you know, like I wasn't going to put like any kind of like weight loss goal on it. I just like,
sure.
I had a lot of moments this year where I really felt unhealthy and it went beyond like feeling kind of heavier. It was more like, all right, I'm 34 now. I can't do the things that I could do in my mid 20s. I can't just like coast on being like, I'm young.
You can't just continuously go hard, not sleep.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Can't go hard in the paint for that long.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like a real, just adjustment to just be like a lifestyle change as opposed to being like, I'm going to lose 10 pounds at the onset. It's just like, make sure I'm moving my body and like going to the gym and don't have days where I'm like just sitting at my desk for 11 hours or like whatever, you know. So that's the big one. But overall, the other thing was that I think 2023 was definitely a year of growth. it was kind of a year where I definitely laid some groundwork, both personally and professionally, which is kind of a boring thing while it's happening, I think.
Totally.
It's not all that exciting.
Yeah.
You don't see an immediate reward from it.
Yeah, so I'm hoping...
I've been laying groundwork since 2018. Pain.
I know. I've felt that also. But I don't know. I mean, like, I think romantically, I had a very odd year, and that's the only way I can describe it. Not necessarily good, not really necessarily bad, just kind of, like,
odd.
Strange.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I felt like I really moved past, like... that relationship with Lex and
who
I well
oh I can't believe you said her name. Wow.
Well, I'm not saying it to trash her.
No.
I felt like it's okay.
Yeah. No. I'm proud of you,
but like I felt like I moved past that, and then like
that's incredible,
got involved with somebody who like broke my heart this year. It's
Hey-o.
Just like you just the shit storm never ends, and but we've had all these conversations about you know, the last month, I guess, or maybe a little bit longer, we've had a lot of conversations about like men breaking up with women and kind of, and I think a lot of that, I feel comfortable saying it now, but like cryptically, some of that was me dealing with being with a person who I kind of wasn't 100% sure about and I had to do that. I was
so in our situation. Podcast bullied you into doing the right thing.
It's not that it bullied me. But
right
it made
thing.
Me, you know, when this happened, I felt very guilty about it. And I was texting you about it, Corinne, just kind of saying like, man, I now this is the gist of it. This is why men don't do this.
Yeah.
Because this is a person that I broke up with that didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I almost wish she was like a drunk or
something. Totally.
But I love and I love that you said that to me, because we had a conversation about like, you don't have to do something wrong. The other person doesn't have to do something wrong.
The house doesn't have to catch fire for you to leave it.
With. Yeah. Right.
So this was the thing. I think that this was a kind of, you know, this is something that happened towards like not too long ago. And I think that that has sort of springboarded me into thinking about 2024, like how to, I just want to be not that I don't think I'm like a nice, good person now, but I want to be, and truthfully, some of this has to do with, I think we mentioned it in another episode, but like we lost Kenny DeForest, who was a comedian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it does make you think, somebody that like dies tragically that young. The one thing I can kind of say about him, having not really known him very well, is that the community at large has, nobody has a bad thing to say about the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It makes you think, oh, how will I be remembered too?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's all this stuff now about this guy going, he was an organ donor and he saved 5 people with his organs. Like, it's just like.
Well, Kenny did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking,
yeah.
So fucking it's Kenny, like, man.
Fucking classic Kenny from
fucking
the Great
Kenny.
Beyond.
Right.
Yeah.
So
fucking
puts,
helping people after you die. I love that.
It puts you in the situation where like it's weird that I'm putting a breakup in with, you know, the loss of a peer, but
they're honestly,
they're both losses.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's just like, I feel like I handled that situation really well with this girl that this woman that I broke up with. And
thank you for saying woman, correcting yourself.
I always try. She handled it with so much class and the
Beautiful.
Way that I figured she would, because she was, you know,
Classy
so
gal.
Great.
But that also means that your read on people is getting better, right? Because like how someone reacts when you break up with them is really, I think, like really shows their character.
Yeah,
right.
Really. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then for me, like that was definitely what was, when I was reflecting and or really depressed over the Frank breakup, more than losing Frank, who wasn't, I knew even the moment he broke up with me, we weren't compatible. I knew before he broke up with me that we weren't compatible long term. But I was like, you really need to reflect on why you reacted in the way that you did.
Yeah. Because
it was fucking crazy.
Well, and this is the thing. So this was the first time that like I got dumped by somebody that I really think that I fell in love with this year, even though we weren't together for very long. And obviously I was in a relationship with this person who I broke it off with. And I feel like I can really hold my head up high the way that it's just a sad thing. It had to happen.
Right.
I didn't
yeah.
waste her time. Like I realized that it was like time to go. And I was as direct as possible with her. Mm-hmm. I did it face to face. I looked her in the eye and told her the uncomfortable bad news.
I love all this.
Because I have major respect for her. And it was just, and
Isn't that
beautiful? We didn't end that night thinking that the door might still be open. Like, the door could be open for us to be friends. I don't think she wants that.
The door was closed and you let her know. And then so it's like it hurt, because it hurts in that moment. Yes. More. But long term, the wound will heal so much faster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not like this fucking cowardly snake in the grass that just has run away from me, basically. Kind of like leaves the door open. We have a. I'm not gonna like.
I love
all
the cowardly snake in the grass. Yes,
listen,
speak your fucking truth, Michael.
As much as we heal on this podcast, we will still all be a little bit petty, and that is part of the brand. And we're not trying to fix it.
Maybe accept it
because we're enjoying it.
I was bitching to Christina about this, like right before we started recording, and I was like, you know what? Like maybe this is like to basically tie this all together. Mm. I do think this is sort of like a step into real adulthood. Where in the past, where I've kind
Mikey's
of like
a man.
Broken it off with women.
You do feel like a man.
Yeah, it's true.
I would hope so at this point.
Yeah, you've been through a lot.
You know, but in the past, I had broken it off with women, and I've kind of like lied about why I didn't want to be with them when it was clearly just I wasn't that into them. I've used like my own mental health as which I'm like ashamed of now.
We've
as
all
like
done
the,
it.
The reason that I can't be with somebody.
I've done it.
But I was lying.
I actually haven't done it. The one time I said it was my mental health, it really was.
Yeah, right. No, I said we all done it. And I'm like, nah, Corinne hasn't. But I've done it a lot. As a lie. No. I've been like, because I'm too fucking pussy to say the truth. Right. And it's like, that's disrespectful to me and to that person.
Right. So I'm like happy that even though that didn't go like have a lot of legs, this was a really wonderful person that I feel like at least I did them the proper service and showed them the proper respect.
Good.
In a year where I don't feel like I have gotten that from a lot of other people.
So yeah.
I just want to keep, you know, that's what I want to do. And it's beyond just romantic relationships. Like 2024, I really want to focus on doing the right thing and being as good of a person as I can be, because, you know, I just don't want it. Like hurts. I feel bad when I don't feel like I've done the right thing. And at least once the dust settled with the ending of that relationship, now I feel like I did the right thing.
Yeah.
It felt weird for about a week because I was just like, it's weird that I'm not gonna have this person in my life anymore. And she didn't do anything wrong. It just wasn't working for me. And like, now I just feel like, I think you've said it in the past, like given the gift of your time back, not wasting your time, not letting this get
Grin,
out of hand.
Through the membrane.
It's true,
a beautiful gift. I've given a lot of my male friends that talk about just give this person their life back,
right?
So give them it back.
That's my plan for 2024. Is like be healthy and live. Live
in your integrity.
Right.
Yeah. We're all living our truths.
It feels really good to be in integrity, even if it's like uncomfortable. It's still at the end of the day, like still like, yeah, it's still uncomfortable. But I also deep down, not even that deep, know it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And you can't put a price tag on that, baby. Wow. Guys, we've grown. Do you have an intention for 2024?
I don't know. You know what? Honestly, I don't usually like, I don't like to set like big New Year's resolutions, but I also feel like, especially the second half of this year, like I think like once summer was on, because I woke up, I mean, I was like just rock really, really bad last year. And I remember waking up, I don't know, at 3 p.m. on New Year's Eve, I was like, or whatever wildly late time I was staying into. I was just like sleeping to like, because 2022 felt like it lasted forever. Mm-hmm. Every day felt like a century to get through. So I just started sleeping a lot just to make the fucking time pass.
Totally.
Because I was like, I fucking cannot do this anymore. And I just woke up on New Year's Eve. And I was like, Corinne, this has to be over now. You don't have a choice. No matter what happens, you have to have a good 2023. And I went and I had an appointment, you know, at a dry bar. Or is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Dry bar. To get my hair braided. Cause I was like, I'm blowouts. I can do myself. My hair is so straight. But I'm like, I wanted French braids.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're just going to do your hair. And I got a dress. And like, I was, you know, at least I was starting at the point where I felt like, you know, had done a lot of work. I did a lot of work on my physical health last year because I felt so terrible physically. And so like I looked good, really good on New Year's Eve, but I still wasn't feeling super good. Whereas this year I look at it and I feel good. And I put on my dress and I was like, I'm going to have a great show and we're going to have a great party. And it was great. It was probably one of my favorite New Year's of all time. It was truly, truly great. And I think it really set off the year amazingly. And then we went to the AVNs, which was super fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
And I went to Ireland, which I really enjoyed, enjoyed it so much more than I expected. And so there was a lot of good things, but there was still like, especially a lot of like I dated and fucked some of the lowest, I hit rock bottom,
with that dick,
with some of these guys. And this is not about one person, it's about multiple people. I needed to like clean out my closet in that way.
Totally.
And it really actually was beautiful because it gave me a lot of clarity and I had a lot of like realizations about like what I need and what I'm looking for. And and then so second part of the year, just like very minimal, you know, if any, the sexual interactions and, you know, and got really into the, I just in a much better place. So I just want to kind of like keep riding the spiritual wave that I am currently in, the groove that I'm in, where I feel great and good and connected. Alfred and I, this sounds crazy, but like, I feel like not that I'm in a romantic relationship with it, but I feel like Alfred and I work on our relationship as like I call him my best friend, not my son. So like as my best friend and like, even though he can't talk to me, like I know this is weird to say, but I feel like what people talk about in marriages where they get to like newer and deeper levels of understanding with each other. I feel like me and Alfred do that.
I understand that.
And I feel like we get to like, we're just like at in such like a fucking groove. That's we'll give awesome. Each other a look. I'll know like we just get each other.
Yeah.
In a deep way.
It's so rewarding to have that with an animal.
Yeah.
It's so rewarding.
And I've had connections with animals. I mean, me and Pinkerton very close.
Yes.
Even Pinkerton's more mom than noticed mom. That. Yeah. Not more, but just like, she was
very intimate.
It's weird that, you know, your roommate has that.
And that type of a bond as you do with your
dog. I go, listen, Pinkerton's one of my spirit guys. You know, he's no longer with us. I feel like he definitely is looking over me.
He was so special.
I always have a real deep, you know, because even... Anytime I do like a spiritual thing or a regression, you know, I think some people see flower. I always see nature and I always see animals and I never see humans guiding me.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
It's always animals. And not even,
should you.
It's not even necessarily animals I know, you know, it's just animals. Like a lot of times, you know, my visions are kind of like, I don't even want to talk about them actually. It's just very animal based always. Yeah. And so, I have this. And
animals are the truth. Animals.
I feel like I was working on that a lot. And I also, you know, not only my own health was I working on, we were working on Alfred's health for quite some time.
Yeah.
So that was, at the forefront of my mind. And so keep like riding this same wave, especially, you know, the second half of 2023 wave into 2024. And to not so much think of it as a new year, but as a continuation of this. Like I for the first time in a long time, I don't need a fresh start. For 2024, and it feels really good. I don't need a fresh start. I can just continue to look. I can look at January 1st as just kind of a continuation. And I hope my career does better.
I fucks with that.
In 2024.
Hell yeah, girl. 2024 is going to be our year. You know?
But I'm very comfortable.
That's good. That's great. That's good.
And no matter what, you know, but again, going to be disappointed if it doesn't progress better, but that's okay. I've learned how to deal with disappointment better.
That's good. That's good.
All right.
Guys, what a time.
What a time.
What a time we've had.
Yeah.
What a year. I think 2024 is going to be all our years.
Wow.
I know. That's a big thing to say.
Zero deaths, zero breakups.
No, definitely going to be deaths.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, okay,
you can't avoid that.
Just to touch on Kenny DeForest a little bit, because I mean,
he has been on my mind since you texted me.
Yeah.
All the time. Well, I keep thinking about him.
And I don't want to pretend like we were closer friends than we were, because I mean, what a comedian move, right? But I think we're seeing with Kenny is he's one of those people that made you us all feel really important, whether we had, you know, a mild.
Whether we were or not.
And it's also like I've known him. So even though, you know, he wasn't one of my closest friends, I've also known him for like a decade at this point. One of the first people.
The same time, right?
In our class of comedians, right? And so I found myself crying multiple times over his death, deeply, deeply in Chicago. I mean, that's because where he was from. So I think I felt closer to him there.
Right.
And I had also, he had just moved back to New York. So I hadn't seen him in a long time. And then I had seen him multiple times, literally a block away from me at a comedy show that happens down the street from my apartment. Right. And so I had just had multiple interactions with him. And that always like makes people, you know, people like to reminisce about that. And I was like, with all the spiritual practices that you've done this year and all the time that you've spent thinking about death in the past several years, like, you know, how do you come to terms with this? And quite simply, I just thought about it. It's like we all, you know, like Michael said, like a real masterclass in the kind of life to live, because comedians love talking trash, and I truly haven't heard one bad word about Kenny.
No.
And we would have heard bad words.
Oh, we would have heard it.
You know? I was always laughing to myself because, like, often when someone dies, like, the first thing I do is in my head make a list of all the other people I'd rather have seen die. And it's almost everyone.
Pretty much everybody
in comparison
when it comes to
Kenny.
Yeah.
And so, and then I was trying to think of,
so
like,
good.
You know, it's like, wow, no one has a bad word to say about you. So why is it you that die at 37 in a pretty horrific manner? I'm just going to come out and say, in an e-bike accident that seemed pretty fucking gruesome.
Right.
And but then I was reading all the things that people were saying, and I'm like, I honestly think it's just because his soul completed its journey before us, because he's better than us.
Yes, I agree. I was thinking about that same thing.
He
I was like,
finished,
what the fuck?
He finished the test early.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
done. He gets to move on to something better early because he's better than us.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I think, but it's also a more powerful thing when somebody who's just lovely, just fucking lovely and really funny and really kind and really just cares goes so soon. To what you're saying, there's just all these pieces of shit walking around just fucking living.
They have so much more healing to do on their soul journey.
Yes. And the impression that when you texted me that he had passed away, I like fell over. I was like, whoa, I was so shocked by it and like upset. And it's because he was so lovely and great. And just my heart goes out to his family and his partner. And oh my God. And the fucking comedy community of Chicago and New York, they're just fucking reeling right now.
And LA, because he spent a long time there too.
Right. Yeah. Because he lived in LA for before we moved back. Right.
Yeah.
And, but I'm like, it is almost like it makes a huge, it's a powerful thing in all of our lives that he went as early as he did.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, because it makes you go, how do I want to be remembered? And it makes you realize that every single interaction that you have with somebody can like, make or break their day. And just being like, just smiling at a stranger, like a genuine, like, hey, you know, smile can make somebody's whole day. And he like lived in a very Jesus type way. When you think of Jesus as like a, just like a cool dude, you know, like a nice guy who was not judgmental. And it's like, wow, he had this like Jesus quality to him, and he died young. And that makes his legacy more powerful in a way. Cause it's like, there's something about death that's really like, it's, you just look at them totally different. Like they went through this thing that we're all going to have to go through that is, you know, scary because the human ego is terrified to die because we're wired to survive. But then you just relook at that and you just like the lessons that you gain from that person and from knowing that person just kind of hit in a completely different, harder way after they've passed away. It's really strange.
Yeah, no, I was like, at one point I made myself cry because I was like, I wonder if Kenny ever got to have a dog. I don't know. Make myself cry again thinking about it. But then I was like, it's just, you know, when you look at it. And then, of course, you know, you can't help. It's not even egotistical. It's just like the human condition. You start thinking about like, what would people say, you know, if I was the one to die? And it's like, oh, a lot of people would be happy. And then I like went a step further.
Do you think so?
Yes. But the thing is, the people who would be happy, it's not because I was mean to them.
Right. It's because they were mean to themselves.
Exactly. And so I'm comfortable with that. Even though that's very different from the impact
that
Kenny left.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I go, but then why would people be happy? It's because I made them feel uncomfortable and I'm fine with that. And I'm not looking to change that. I think it's like when you make others unhappy or sad or angry, I don't immediately go, stop that, or how do I rectify that? I go, why am I making them sad or angry? And is that something I'm looking to fix?
Yes.
That's the question you ask. It's not
exactly.
It is not inherently bad to make someone sad or angry.
Right. Because a lot of times it has to do with their own insecurities and problems.
Like, sure.
We're all projecting most of the time. So it's like,
who we like is a projection of ourself, and who we don't like is a projection of ourself.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Just like who I am on the planet and my mission is I'm not Kenny. I'm not someone who's here to make everyone feel good and happy.
Yeah.
And I know that. I've known that for a long time. That's not my journey, my purpose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we all have our own individual fucking purposes. And it's really, yeah, it's fascinating. I would like to take some of Kenny's qualities into 2024 with me.
Yeah.
Just kindness and patience.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of people kind of mentioned, this is actually similar to Suzanne Summers, because her whole family has been posting, like, they did a tribute to her. And like, so her son spoke and her partner spoke. And yeah, she actually seems to share a lot of the qualities that Kenny had, which is like making you feel like you're the only person in the room, which is a magical quality. We all know some people who have that.
I
don't have that quality, but I love that. I love that quality. And it's a quality that, you know, even when you can see through it, it makes you feel good.
Totally.
Ashley Austin Morris has that quality.
Yes, she does.
Mm-hmm.
She does.
I wrote a joke. I was trying to write a joke about Ashley Austin Morris, like, because when I went to her, I felt like we had a really special connection. And not that we don't, but then I went to her wedding and I was like, everyone feels like they have a really special connection with fucking Ashley.
I guess she's special to everybody.
I was like, you know when you go to your friend's wedding and then you realize your friend is cheating on you and everyone fucking feels special? But I think Kenny had that same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And that's why everyone feels like they lost a good friend. Not that he was, you know, it's like, we were, you know, I was like friendly.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I have his number on my phone, you know?
Right.
But it's just like he really had that quality.
He was a kind motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
Kind motherfucker.
Oh, man.
All right, guys.
Rest in peace, Kenny.
Yes. And please go to his Instagram. And if you feel so inclined, watch his comedy special.
Yeah.
I watched it the other night and it was really good. It's called Don't You Know Who I Am, streaming free on YouTube. Kenny DeForest's Instagram is KennyDeForest.
It made me so happy that he was able to get his. Isn't that so weird that he had released a comedy special mere months before he passed away? It's almost like the universe was like, collect your thoughts and put them out and there.
Before we peace out to the next realm.
Yeah. I was so happy that, like, from an artistic standpoint, that he was able to do that.
Yeah.
So that we can all have that.
Yeah.
And he can, his thoughts live on.
Fucking Kenny, man.
His thoughts and his work.
We love you, Kenny.
All right. Well, sending you guys off into a wonderful 2024. Thank you so much for all your support this year. We appreciate it. Be safe. Treat yourself well. Treat others well. This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. I don't want to try. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares? Waiting for a sign. Think I've had enough. Guess I'll have to get used to not telling you the stupid little things. The stupid little things you won't be here to see. Like how I spent my week. I think I grew a little more than you. I've been digging deep. You're still pushing through. Stubborn to a fault. You would say the same. I'm not perfect. I will share the blame. Guess I'll have to get used to not telling you the stupid little things. The stupid little things you won't be here to see. Like how I spent my week. What's been on TV, or how I couldn't sleep. I still love you, you know I do. Life is too short, but life is so long.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.